In 1972, a children's book was published. I bet you read this book, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. You remember reading it? Yeah, I think kids even today still read it. I had grandparents, parents, teachers over the weekend tell me about that. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. I wonder if that title could be changed a bit, and in the change, describe the first 39 chapters of the book of the prophet Isaiah. I wonder if this could accurately describe it. Ancient Israel and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad chapter in their life. It was more than just a day. They had walked away from God, and Isaiah was the one who had to call them out. In their walking away, the Lord was letting them live with the consequences. And Isaiah says, this is the punishment. And then in coming back, Isaiah gives some hard teachings. And they were to follow them. From chapter 40 on to the end, Scripture scholars call that part of the book of consolation. But in the middle of this very bad time in Israel's life, in the 25th chapter, there is this glimmer of hope. For Isaiah says, on this mountain over here, the Lord is going to prepare a feast. And you're invited. It's going to be delicious food, fantastic wine. And you're invited. And the veil that veils everybody, death, is going to be destroyed. It'll be an awesome banquet. It'll be a banquet of love. And do you want to come? I want to walk into that invitation a little bit because it is an invitation of love. In fact, I'd like to direct your attention here to the south wall because that expresses that invitation best. Will you read that with me? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him shall not die, but shall live. The priest who had that scripture put up on that wall would have people read it very regularly. If you're new to Holy Name or if you're visiting us, John 3:16 has been part of our history for many years. Because John 3:16 describes a universal love. That means God loves all. But at the same time, it expresses a very personal love. God loves you, and he loves you so much, he sent the very best. And the very best is his own Son. And he expects the very best from us. Expects the very best in return. I was enlightened this week by an ancient saint, a mystic. He lived in the 1500s. His name was Saint John of the Cross. And I was enlightened by some of St. John's teaching because he talks about two aspects of God's love. He said there's an aspect of God's love that just sustains us, and there's an aspect that transforms us. That sustaining love, we've all been gifted with it, saint and sinner alike. The very best in the world and the very worst in the world. All human beings are loved by God. In fact, if God quit loving us even for a millisecond, we would cease to exist. We'd be annihilated. God loves all. And that sustaining love is the union that exists between him and all of us. That love is what gives you and me our godly nature. We're created in God's divine image. It's that love that says your life is sacred and it is not your own. It's been loaned to you. A growing awareness of that love is the first steps of discipleship. But it's only the first steps. There's more to come. It's kind of like going to a banquet and eating the hors d'oeuvres and eating the salad. Nobody leaves an awesome banquet just eating the hors d'oeuvres and salad. They all know there's something more to come. St. John of the Cross said, here's the main meal. Here's the more to come. God's love offers us something new. He offers us a whole new identity. A couple of weeks ago, one of the members of our staff here at Holy Name was married, Teresa. And a couple of days before her wedding, she took some time off and extended that into her honeymoon. I sent an email to her and I got an auto reply back. And the auto reply said something like this: I'm getting married September 30th. I'll be out of the office till whatever date. When I come back, my name will be Teresa Reichert because I am marrying Eric Reichert. My identity is going to change, she said. And sure enough, when I presided at her wedding, Teresa said, Lord, I give myself to Eric, and in giving myself to Eric, I give myself to you. And Eric said the same thing back. And their identity was changed. That's what I'm talking about. And it's not just for marriage, but God's love can do that. It can change our form. It can transform us. If you're not getting married tonight, there's still a way you can do it. I don't think you are. We do it by saying, Lord, I give you my will and I give you my life. I put that all in your care and in your hands. Something I pray every day. Lord, I give you my will. And when the Lord's will and our will are joined together, the Lord's will and our souls are joined together. And there's a unity there, a conformity there. And that unity or conformity starts at some time, and then it deepens every time we open ourselves up. And when we allow God's love to transform us, we become more of the people He created us to be. You know what, everyone? We all have that hunger. That rests in each and every one of us. It's something we can't explain. It's something we can't put words to, but it's there, and we know it. God's sustaining love is not enough. That transforming love is what He wants to give us. Do you want to come to that kind of a banquet? Jesus used the story of a banquet to drive home that point. He tells the story of a royal banquet, a wedding feast that a lot of people were invited to. But sadly, there were people who said no to the invitation. And did you hear Father Evans proclaim the reasons why? Some people said, I got too much to do, I'm too busy. Others said, I got other places I want to go. And still others said, you know what, I'm looking for a better deal, a better invitation, so I'm going to wait. And you know what? Those three excuses are excuses that are prevalent today. When the Lord invites, people say, I'm too busy. I got too many things to do. People say, I got other places I want to go. And people say, I'm looking for something better. When the invited guests said that, the king sent messengers out to re-invite and re-invite. And you heard the story. Some were rejected. Some were seized and shamefully treated. And one was killed. The one that was killed was the son. The ones rejected were the prophets. You see, Jesus, in telling the story, was really telling the story about God the Father. He's the King. And the banquet is a universal banquet. Everybody is invited. That banquet is a sacrificial feast. That banquet is the banquet of salvation. And that banquet is the banquet of the Messiah. We touch it every time we celebrate Mass. We get a glimpse of that eternal banquet here every time we gather. Do you want to come to the banquet? That's the question, and that's the invitation. When people said no, the king filled the banquet hall anyways. Everybody was invited. Young and old, rich and poor, good and bad, and whatever distinction you want to make. And then I was troubled by this one guy who gets kicked out. Why would a God who invites and people come, why would he kick somebody out? Is there a lesson there? And there is. There is. The one invited who got kicked out. Did you hear Father Evans proclaim it? He said he didn't wear a wedding garment. He wasn't willing to change his clothes. He wasn't willing to change on the outside. And more importantly, he wasn't willing to change on the inside. And so the real answer to the invitation was no. He shows up just in case, but he says no. Point is, we are to say yes constantly to that transforming, that changing love that the Lord offers us. How do we do it? We turn our will and life over to the care of God, yes. But we also do it together. We do it by taking what's normal for us, our normal relationships, and using them to enter more deeply into a relationship with the Lord. And it's in light of that that I want to just end by talking about our family. Because when our church becomes an extension of our family, when our family becomes an extension of our church, that transforming starts to happen in us. Listen and watch some people for whom that's happened.
As a family, we come into Mass on Sunday, seeing those familiar faces and the unfamiliar faces, and within our great faith community, feeling that sense of belonging. It's a feeling that I've not had at any prior parishes, whether when I was growing up, in college, times we spent in Chicago for work. There's a connection and a depth of the community here that we've not experienced anywhere else.
And that's initially why I got involved in church stuff, because I wanted to hang out with these people more. And then I started, you know, to fall in love with Christ and fall in love with his church and see the true beauty in it.
When we're at Holy Name, like, we're at home. Like, when we're traveling on the weekend and we're attending, you know, a Mass, if we're, you know, at my parents staying there, or if we, you know, go to your parents and visit, you know, you always have the Mass. But it's not quite the same. And we always enjoy the following Sunday when we come home and we can say, oh, we get to go to Mass at Holy Name. You know, we get to go to Mass at home, really.
Do you have a tough time kicking people out of here because they want to stay and they want to have a relationship and to enhance their relationship and to visit and to converse?
We have friends who are 15, 20 years older than we are, 15, 20 years younger than we are, and it doesn't matter. It's just we're all part of one. We're all part of this big family.
You have friends that you'll see around the church, at Mass, going to whatever catechesis, teaching middle schoolers, and you don't exactly know them, but you know that they're there for you and that they're praying for you, and it's a very beautiful and special thing that I have yet to find anywhere else in this world.
I like Sophie's line, I hung around with you and I found Christ. She said to send her greetings. She's not able to be here tonight. But I hung around with you and I found Christ. There's the key, friends. There's the key. Hanging around each other and celebrating life together. I see that happen all over the place here. celebrating life's successes on the athletic field, in the classroom, kids, kindergartners getting on the school bus for the first day and making it to school and back, and so many other ways too. I see it when we're together during hard times, during sickness. When I hear of people sick, I oftentimes hear of meals being shared with a family, prayers being offered. There's a group of people one time who heard of a loved one being sick, and they took it upon themselves just to come here and pray the rosary while somebody was in the hospital. One lady who's in heaven talked about her terminal illness as a sacred illness because she was changed on the inside, as were everybody who visited her. Wow, that's something. Being with people at death, tough time. Being with people at death and just saying, you know, I'm here. I don't know what to say, but I care about you. I don't know what to do, but I'll do what I can. But I'm going to stand here with you and support you. And I'll stand here with you and draw hope on the promise of eternal life that is proclaimed at death. You see, we're changed when that happens together. That's my hope for Holy Name. It's my prayer for Holy Name. I see it in lots of ways. And yet, because loneliness is so pervasive, I always wonder and worry if somebody here still feels like an outsider or feels left out in some way or doesn't have that yet. If you do, know that this is a place, because I want our family and your family to be identical, each and every one of us. To make it happen, here's my last thing. It's your assignment. Sometime in the next 3 months, come and participate in one of the events that we do here. Men, come to breakfast on Friday morning. Mass at 6:45, breakfast at 7:15. Ladies, go to LIFT, Ladies in Faithful Fellowship. The website has lots of other ways too. Time doesn't allow me to get into them. There's just so many and they're so awesome. Talk your friends into a fall retreat. Let's fill Big Sandy and invite them so that they know they're your friends and they can find Jesus as a friend too. Sometime in the next 3 months. But let your presence here and your introductions open up the way to new relationships that help change, that help transform us. Our church, our family, it's all the groundwork for our future and what we're becoming. That's for next week.